Turn with me this evening to Proverbs chapter 31. Matthew has been leading us in a study of the book of Proverbs. And of course, those of us who are familiar with the book of Proverbs and we're familiar with coming to chapter 31, we're probably familiar with the worthy woman. And in the past, maybe we have heard lessons about the worthy woman. We have looked at her characteristics, and we're going to do that again this evening. But one thing that I would like for us to think about with regard to the worthy woman is that when you look at her story here at the end of the book, she actually is the epitome or the heightened example of the book's message all throughout the book. All that we're being told in the book is illustrated in this woman's life. And so chapter 31 becomes a fitting conclusion, I believe, for the whole book. And the reason I want us to look at it this way is sometimes we look at lessons about the worthy woman, and we'll bring that in the context of maybe lessons about wives or the women in the church. But what I want us to understand this evening is that she is an example for all of us. This story of the worthy woman, it acts like a conclusion to the whole book. She's a prime example of what the whole book has been trying to teach. And as a result, she brings together much of what the book has taught all throughout. What's interesting is when you look at the story of the worthy woman, you'll find some characteristics that are worthy, listen, of all of us. All of us need to have these things in our lives. We're going to look at eight individual characteristics this evening of the worthy woman. But these characteristics have already been taught throughout the book from the very beginning. And they're to be found in all persons. All of us here this evening need to have these qualities. As I begin to look at the qualities of the worthy woman, I begin to see that these are echoes of what has happened earlier in the book. It's the same thing that has been mentioned earlier in the book. And so this evening, then, I want us to look at the worthy woman, yes, but also the worthy man and the worthy youth and the worthy Christian in all of us. What she is illustrating is what has been said from the very beginning of the book. I want us to look this evening at eight characteristics, and I want to begin this evening by looking at the first one. If you'll start with me now in Proverbs 31 and verse 10, we want to read all of these verses eventually as we go through the lesson. But we'll stop and we'll look at each of these characteristics. First of all, we find in verse 10, a worthy woman who can find. For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband trusteth in her, and he shall have no lack of gain. She doeth him good and not evil all the days of her life. We find, first of all, that this woman is a good wife. She is described as a worthy woman. She stands in stark contrast to other women that are in the book. Earlier in the book, we read about the adulterous woman. We read about the contentious woman and those types of individuals. And she's in stark contrast to that. In Proverbs chapter 5, Proverbs chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 9, we read about the adulteress or the loose woman, the sexually immoral woman. This woman stands in contrast to that. She is a worthy woman. But what's interesting about this is not the first time that we've read in the book about a worthy woman. This statement here in verse 10, a worthy woman who can find, the worthiness, the godliness of a person has been shown earlier in the book as well. So she becomes the example of that. For example, turn with me to chapter 12 and verse 4. What the worthy woman is showing is she is showing the importance of being a good wife and not a poor one. And that is a message that has been taught throughout the book. For example, in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4, a worthy woman is the crown of her husband. That's any woman, not just the one of chapter 31, but all of the worthy women here this evening and others. A worthy woman is the crown of her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rotten to his bone. Look at Proverbs 18 and verse 22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of Jehovah. This is something that was being set down all throughout the book. A woman who serves God, a woman who follows God's word, a woman who has godly principles in her life. Look at chapter 19 and verse 14. House and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from Jehovah. And the word prudent there means someone who acts with prudence. They're careful. They get all of the facts. They find out the proper way to act, and then they act according to that. There's a prudent way to act, and then there's a foolish way to act. The prudent way to act is according to God's word, you see. Not just striking out and just saying and feeling and doing whatever we want. But this prudent wife is from Jehovah. Prudence. Discretion. These are words that are found in the book of Proverbs that speak to being controlled in how we act. We're going to act only according to God's word and God's way. But this matter of a good wife and a poor wife, that's been shown throughout the book. In contrast, look at chapter 19 and verse 13. The contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. And the contention here, listen, the scripture talks about contending earnestly for the faith. Jude 3. We're supposed to contend for the truth, but we're not supposed to be contentious. Those are two different things. Contend is not the same as contentious. When we contend earnestly for the faith, we're standing for what the Bible verse says. When we're contentious, we're arguing over things that are not in God's word and often in the realm of judgment. Contentious is not contending. Those are two different things. Look at chapter 21 and verse 9. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a contentious woman in a wide house. Again, in verse 19, it is better to dwell in a desert land than with the contentions and a fretful woman. Chapter 25 and verse 24. It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a contentious woman in a wide house. So throughout the book, there is a godly, prudent wife. There is a contentious wife. There is a wife that's from the Lord. There is a wife that is not. And that has been taught throughout the book. And then we come to chapter 31, a worthy woman who can find. What we're finding here in this book, brethren, at the end, is a conclusion to all of the good wisdom that has been laid down throughout the book. Let's look at a second characteristic of this woman. Look with me now at verse 10, a worthy woman who can find. But what does the rest of the verse say? Her price is far above rubies. What that speaks to is her spiritual value. Spiritual value is more important than any money that you might have, any material things that you might have. What is on the inside of this woman, her spiritual value on the inside, her godly character, that is more valuable than having a handful of jewels. Her price is far above, my version says, rubies or jewels. You stop and think about it now. You go in and somebody had the ability to just give you a bag full of jewels or a godly wife and say, now, which is more valuable? There's so many people in the world that just grab that bag of jewels and run with it. No. The spiritual value of a godly wife is more than these jewels. Come on down with me to verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And we're going to find these different qualities that she has. Verse 30, grace is deceitful and beauty is vain. It's not about outside appearance, but a woman that feareth Jehovah, she shall be praised. We're going to talk about that later. Her spiritual value. But what's interesting about this has been taught all throughout the book. For all of us. You see, she becomes the epitome of what has been said earlier in the book. Let's look at a few examples. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. There's this statement about spiritual value all throughout the book. Look at chapter 3 and verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. That is, we're following God's word. For the gaining of it is better than the gaining of silver, and the profit thereof than fine gold. She, that is wisdom, God's word, is more precious than rubies, and none of the things thou canst desire are to be compared to her. We have to understand spiritual value. God's word is more valuable than anything. A godly woman is more valuable than rubies and jewels. And maybe we've had an opportunity. Maybe you've been to the Smithsonian. I remember when I was probably about fifth or sixth grade, we lived in Indianapolis. Dad had a meeting over in the Northeast. He wanted to take us to see the sites in Washington, D.C. And we wanted to see the Smithsonian. And then later in life, we've taken our family there with the Goodalls. It's a really neat place to go. And they have rooms that are full of jewels and costly jewels. And I remember as a kid going into the room, and there was a Reeves diamond. I thought that was pretty neat. And they had the case there, a little plaque there. And hey, look, the Reeves diamond. I don't know anything about it. All I know is, you know, we just saw it that one time. And we talk about how expensive those things are and how valuable those things are. And we look there and we gaze at that. Wow, wouldn't it be nice to have that? And God's word says that there are things that are more valuable than all of that. And we've lost sight of that in many ways. Look at chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. You see, this worthy woman, it's not just for her. We're finding things that are for all of us because she is the epitome of example and illustration of the entire book. Look at chapter 8, verse 10. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared unto it. Almost reads exactly like chapter 3. Look at verses 18 and 19. Riches and honor are with me, talking about wisdom. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable wealth. Literally, wealth that goes back a ways, ancient, and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Living and acting by God's wisdom is what is valuable in our life. And when we step away from that, we have only trouble. Look at chapter 16 and verse 16. These statements about spiritual value are all throughout the book. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? Yea, to get understanding is rather to be chosen than silver. Why? Because it's God's wisdom that gets us to heaven. These other things are for this life. James talks about in James chapter 5 how that your gold is rusting. These people that amass material things and all it does is rust. They can't take it with them. But God's wisdom and living by God's wisdom is what gets us to heaven. That's why it's so much more valuable. Chapter 20, verse 15, also chapter 22, verse 4. So, her spiritual value. It's for all of us. It's a principle that needs to be in all of our lives. Let's look at a third characteristic of this woman. She has a proper family relationship. There are the proper relationships between a husband and a wife, between parents and children. And we're seeing today problems in the home. We're seeing where there is not that relationship that needs to be there because we're not following the godly principles. We're not the husband and wife and the parent that we need to be. And so there's problems in the home. But she has a proper family relationship. Look at chapter 31 and let's look at a few examples of this. In chapter 31, verses 11 and 12, the heart of her husband trusteth in her, and he shall have no lack of gain. She doeth him good and not evil all the days of her life. He's treating her properly. She's treating him properly. We come on down to verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. We know of situations where the children are saying very bad things about their mother. We know that. We hear that. That goes on. Something's not right in the family. And yet, she has a proper family relationship. And not only does it include her husband and her children, but also her servants. Verse 15, she gives her tasks to her maidens. Everything about the family relationship is the way God wants it to be. And it's the way it needs to be in our homes today. She's really simply showing what has been taught all throughout the book. And that is that there's to be a proper relationship based upon God's word between husbands and wives and between parents and children. And sometimes in our life, when that is not right, and we err and sin and we make mistakes, we clean that up, we clear that up, and we keep the proper relationship together. We follow God's word. He'll bless us on that. And so what she is illustrating, you can see a multitude of passages. It's to be for all of us. It's to be for all of us. I just want to look at a few of these examples. Turn with me to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 22. Proverbs 23:22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Here's the children listening to what dad is saying. And they're respecting their mother. Buy the truth and sell it not, yea, wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child will have joy of him. Let thy father and thy mother be glad, not sadness and heartache and trouble, and we're concerned and we're bothered. That goes on out in the world. But a father and a mother that are glad, and let her that bear thee rejoice. My son, give me thy heart, and let thine eyes delight in my ways. You see a good family relationship here. Why? Because everybody's following God's word. And that can be, and that happens. There are families that have good relationships. There are families that are basing their lives upon God's word, and we don't need to forget about that. We don't need to forget that some of us here this evening were in a family relationship that was good and built upon biblical principles, and that's why we're here this evening. Let's not forget that. Turn with me to chapter 30, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11. There is a generation that cursed their father and blessed not their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet are not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. They're proud. There's a generation whose teeth is as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Come on down to verse 17. The eye that mocketh his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. There are clearly family relationships here that are not right and not according to God's word. And there are family relationships in the book that are right. And what the worthy woman does is she illustrates at the very end, it's one last reminder that we can have a family that is right based upon the word of God. We see so much of the other given over to the devil out into the world, out in society, and we don't have to be like that. The worthy woman is not some woman who's up there, she's untouchable. She has these characteristics that are not realistic. She's just so up there that there's no way that we could be. She is down here. She's one of us. We can be just like this, and we're supposed to. She's illustrating all that is in the book. Let's look at another characteristic. A fourth characteristic is that of hard work. She's an example of hard work. Look at chapter 31. Let's start reading now in verse 13. We've read 10 through 12. Let's read beginning in 13 down through about verse 19 or so. She seeketh wool and flax. She worketh. Notice the verbs here. Notice the verbs of action. Notice the verbs of diligence and organization and action. No laziness, no slothfulness. She seeketh wool and flax, she worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship, she bringeth her bread from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth food to her household, and their tasks to the maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and maketh her strong arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the distaff, and her hands also to the spindle, the spinning of the wool, to make clothes for her family and others. Come down with me to verse 22. She maketh for herself carpets of tapestry. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Verse 24. She maketh linen garments and selleth them, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laugheth at the time to come. In other words, she's prepared. She's ready. And then verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household, and then underscore it in your Bible, and eateth not the bread of idleness. She's an example of hard work. But you know what? That's been taught all throughout the book. That's been taught all throughout the book. The book has been teaching from the beginning the virtue of hard work and the folly of laziness. That's for all of us. Look with me at chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. We'll look at a few examples of this. It's good for our young people to hear the importance of hard work. I want my family to learn that. I want to be a good example of that myself and Sherry. He becometh poor that worketh with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Turn with me to chapter 14, verse 23. Chapter 14 and verse 23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to poverty. There are some people, all they want to do is talk. They just want to talk about, no, get up and act. Well, I just want to talk about this situation. No, get up and work. Well, I want to talk about my problem. No, get up and solve it, you see. And some, all they want to do, the talk of lips, just talking. Talking about getting work. Talking about paying the bills. Talking, no, get up and do something about that, you see. Look at chapter 18 and verse 9. Chapter 18 and verse 9. He also that is slack in his work is brother to him that is a destroyer. Do you know that when we're not working properly, it's like we're a brother to a destroyer? We're just causing problems for our life, and we're going to bring trouble into the lives of our family. It's like we're brother to a destroyer. And many just simply don't see that. They're destroying their homes, and they're destroying their physical lives. Look at chapter 26 with me, beginning in verses 13 through 16. 26, 13 through 16. The sluggard saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. And Matthew talked about this recently. I'm not going to go out and get busy working because of this excuse and that excuse. And so verse 14, I'm just going to turn back and forth on my bed like a hinge on a door. As the door turneth upon its hinges, so doth the sluggard upon his bed. The sluggard burieth his hand in the dish, and it weareth him to bring it to his mouth. We get so lazy. Oh, it's too much work to get this food up to eat. And so it just gets worse and worse. And we find ourselves saying, oh, how much work it is just to get the food up to my mouth. But then verse 16. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit. You try to tell this person something. You try to help them. You try to encourage them to get busy working. No, I got it all worked out. And you know, here's why I can't do this, and here's why I can't do it. And you try to reason with them. You try to talk with them. And they're wiser in their own conceit than seven men than can render a reason. Oh, I'm smart. I'm smarter than anything. You can't tell me anything. You got it all worked out. She's a great example of hard work. But that's what's been taught all throughout the book. She has a graceful tongue. She has a graceful tongue. Turn with me back to chapter 31. When she speaks, there's something that is said about her tongue. Let's talk about that. Turn with me to Verse 26 of Proverbs 31. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and the law of kindness is on her tongue. What a beautiful thing. In addition to all these other great qualities, and young men, we need to be looking for that in a wife. And we need to be appreciating that in our wives. And we need to be looking for that. That's the kind of woman that God wants. But that's the kind of character that is to be in all of our lives. All of us need to be hardworking. All of us need to have a proper family relationship and so forth. And we all need to watch our tongue. The word kindness here has been used earlier in the book. Look at chapter 3 and verse 3. Chapter 3 and verse 3. Let not kindness and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Notice how kindness and truth go together. When we're talking with someone, and we've been talking about working out problems, we talk with kindness and truth. We have to know the whole story. We have to know what the truth of the matter is. And we speak of that in a kind way. Look at chapter 11 and verse 17. Chapter 11 and verse 17. The merciful man, the kind man, doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. We're not going to be cruel. We're kind. We're merciful. We're gentle. And that's the way that she spoke when she spoke with others. Look at chapter 14, verse 22. Do they not err that devise evil? It's a rhetorical question. Yes, they do. But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. Mercy and truth. You see, both of those go together. So kindness has already been spoken of throughout the book, and she's using that when she speaks. It's amazing how much in the book of Proverbs has to do with the tongue, isn't it? We can so easily err with the tongue. The book has shown all throughout the importance of choosing our words carefully. And that's what we find when we come to chapter 31. At the very end, we find a woman who's choosing her words carefully. All throughout the book, hard work is exonerated, and we come to the end of the book, and here's a woman who's a hard worker. She's that one last example of what we're all to be in our lives. Let's look at a few of these things. Look at chapter 10 and verse 4. I'm sorry, verse 14. Wise men lay up knowledge. I want to know the truth of the matter. But the mouth of the foolish is a present destruction. Chapter 11. Verse 12. He that despiseth his neighbor is void of wisdom, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth a matter. You see, the carefulness of the tongue, chapter 12 and verse 18. There is that who speaks rashly, like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. We're going to be careful and not speak rashly. Look at chapter 13 and verse 3. He that guardeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. And just on and on and on. The good wisdom and the proper use of the tongue. Look at chapter 13 and verse 16. Every prudent man. Prudence. I'm going to be careful. Prudence means careful. Before I come to a conclusion, before I state a conclusion, before I give I'm going to be careful. I'm going to be prudent and make sure that I've got all of the I's dotted and the T's crossed, and I'm going to be careful with God's word. I'm going to use some carefulness. That's what prudence is. Good judgment or sound judgment. Every prudent man worketh with knowledge, works with knowledge. What do we know about the facts? But a fool flaunteth his folly. It just becomes obvious that they don't know. And so we need to be careful with our tongue and with our words. And this woman is a great illustration of that. And then one last characteristic. I'm sorry, there's a few more. Let's look at this before we look at our last one. Look at care for others. Turn with me to chapter 31 and verse 20. She reaches out her hand to the poor. She's an example of care and concern. We live in a society today where it might be easy for us, like the priest and the Levite of Luke chapter 10, just to walk by on the other side. The Good Samaritan stopped. The priest and the Levite, they just walk by. And in our society today, we may be tempted to do that. There are those who need our care and concern. And she's an example of that. Look at 31 verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She took care of her family, but she wasn't so concerned about that that she didn't have time for others. And is that not what has been taught all throughout the book? The book has stressed the care for the poor. We look at chapter 14 and verse 21 as one example. 14:21. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. But he that hath pity on the poor, happy is he. We have to open up our lives to those around us from time to time when they are in need. Verse 31, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, capital M. You're going against God. We're going against God when we do that. But he that hath mercy on the needy honoreth him. And so forth. Chapter 17, verse 5. Chapter 19, verse 17. And so forth on down the line. She's simply illustrating what has been taught all of us throughout the book, care for others. What about humility? Humility. She is an example of humility. Do you know that when you read about her being praised, look at Proverbs 31. She is being given praise, but does it come from herself? Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever read about the praise of the worthy woman, but it's always coming from somebody else? She's not praising herself. She's not proud. She's not boastful. She's not bringing attention to herself. She's an example of humility. She's praised, yes, but by others. Look at 31, verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her, saying, many daughters have done worthily, but thou excellest them all. Look at verse 31. The fruit of her hands, that means her, what she's producing in life, that shows who she is. Let her works praise her in the gates. Do you know, brethren, that each of us, every day that we go out, what we're accomplishing, that's either praising who we are or condemning who we are. Our works, the words that we've said that day, our actions, what we've gotten up and done that day, it's a statement. And the world may not care, but God is taking notice. And those works either praise us or condemn us. But notice every time it's someone else doing it and not her. She's a great example of humility. You don't see her walking around, hey, I'm a prudent woman and my price is far above rubies. And I take care of my family and I'm a hard worker and I watch my tongue. You see, there's none of that. She just goes about her godly way each day, living the way she's supposed to live with this humility. And again, is that not what is stressed? I have all of these proverbs. It's stressed all throughout the book, the importance of humility and the dangers of pride. When we're filled with boastfulness and bringing attention to ourselves and exonerating ourselves and that type of thing. Just look at a few of them with me, if you will. Look at chapter 3 and verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Look at chapter 6 and verse 17. Haughty eyes and a lying tongue. These are those things that the Lord hates. Look at chapter 11 and verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Look at chapter 15 and verse 25. Jehovah will root up the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow, and so forth. And there's many others. Humility. And then last of all, one last quality that we want to look at is that this woman is an example of one who fears the Lord. At the very end of Proverbs 31, after looking at all of her qualities as a good wife, how she takes care of her family, the hard work, she controls her tongue, she cares for others, she has humility. One last thing that is said is that she fears the Lord. Reverence and respect God and His Word, and we're going to bring our lives into conformity to that. And so we find in verse 30, a woman that feareth Jehovah, she shall be praised. Look at that. Grace is deceitful and beauty is vain. There is so much in our society that is put on physical beauty. And there's nothing wrong with taking care of ourselves, but much of it is on all the cosmetic commercials, all the things that deal with the outward appearance. What we need in this country is not that, but more inward fear of the Lord. And that's why I asked Matthew if he would read 1 Peter 3. Peter says it's not that outward appearance, but it's that inward character, that hidden man of the heart. The fear of the Lord. That's what God is looking for. It reminds me of when he was picking the king, you know. God doesn't look on the outward. He looks on the inward part there in Samuel. She has inward beauty. And so, really, this is what has been discussed all throughout the book, this fear of the Lord. And you can start all the way back at chapter 1 of Proverbs and work your way through the book. And you find sprinkled in here and there the importance of fearing the Lord. It is central to proper living. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. A life that I take God and His Word seriously. There are those, chapter 1, verse 29, who do not choose the fear of the Lord. They hate knowledge. They do not choose the fear of the Lord. Chapter 2 and verse 5, find the knowledge of God. You shall understand the fear of Jehovah and find the knowledge of God, and so forth. Fearing God is knowing God and His Word and respecting and reverencing that, and it's all throughout the book. Well, the lesson is yours. We talk about the worthy woman and her great qualities. What I wanted us to see this evening is that she is an example of what we're all to be and what the whole teaching of the book is about. These characteristics are not just found in her. They've been taught all throughout the book for all of us. And that's what we need to have in our lives. Let's go out now and be the good wife. Let's value the inward spiritual character more than material things. Let's have a proper marriage and family relationship. Let's be hard workers, not just in our physical work, but also in the kingdom, in this church. We sing in our psalm books about working in God's kingdom and working in the vineyard. Let's be busy doing that. Let's watch our tongues. Let's guard those things that we speak. Let's have care for others. We're not so wrapped up in our lives that we don't care for others. Let's have that humility to say, maybe I'm sorry, or the humility to say that I'm wrong, or the humility to say that I need to make some changes. Let us have the fear of the Lord in our lives, where we reverence and respect God and His Word, where we reverence and respect this assembly. Larry has been announcing recently about the purpose of why we come and the importance of worshiping God. There needs to be a fear and a respect here. One thing that my father did a lot, we goofed around as boys just like everybody else goofs around. We were silly and goofing around. But Dad tried to teach us that there's a time and place for everything. And there's a time and place to, you know, if you want to, goof off a little bit and have a good time. But then there's times and places where you sit still and you're quiet and you listen and you learn. But today it's just constant movement all the time, constant silliness. Every situation is a situation where I'm goofing around, you see. No, there's a time and place to come here and reverence and respect and worship God. And that's what we want for ourselves, and that's what we want for our young people. And we need to get up each day with a healthy fear and respect for God. I think we're losing that. God is the brunt of jokes in our nation. People joke about God and poke fun of God, and we're losing that. So we need to get back to a healthy respect for God. There may be someone here this evening that needs to make their life right. We want to offer that invitation. We don't want to leave without allowing that opportunity. Some child of God may need to come back in some way. Someone may need to respond to the gospel for the very first time. We would ask for you to come, and as we stand and sing, and let your needs be made known.